Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 31 of Between Two Worlds podcast. Today is Tuesday, December something. I don't know what it is, but it's 2017. So if you're listening to this in the future, we hope you're doing well. And I hope it's a nice day for you. Like I said, it's episode 31. This is Between Two Worlds. This is a high school youth podcast where we seek to provide some insights and resourcing tools for students and their parents. This is Northview Community Church. Today we have a very, very special guest who we're glad he's only a guest. And that would be Dan Sparrow.
Dude, seriously.
We love you, Dan.
What? I didn't know that, like, you're just going to be picking on me the whole time.
Not the whole time. We've just started.
All right. All right.
But that's Dan. Dan, what do you do here?
I am the middle school pastor here. Middle school is grade 6, 7, 8. For those people who are really old and not sure what middle school is compared to junior high or stuff like that.
So what grade are you in?
What grade am I in?
6, 7, or 8. Or is it, which grade do you identify as?
Don't make fun of me, man. Like, I don't identify as a middle schooler. For some people who might be confused on that, I am older than a middle schooler.
I would just like to say the highlight of my week so far was what? It was the other day when we had pastors meeting and our executive pastor, Steve Weens, ladies and gentlemen, prayed directly for Dan Sparrow that God would give him an increased desire for risk management.
Oh,
I chuckled inside during our prayer.
Oh, okay. So that's because, just to make a note, when I was at Bible college, that was the one class that I failed.
Risk management?
Was risk management.
Oh, dear.
So, and it was essential for youth ministry, too. So,
well, I would say it is essential for youth ministry.
And so. I failed it. So,
did you have to retake it?
No.
Okay, we should start
over.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Okay.
All right, Dan, so you do the middle school ministry?
Yes, I do middle school. Yes, I do.
And how's that going?
I love it, man. It's good. It's going great.
Mm.
Yeah. No one's gone to the hospital this past couple of months, but.
But what?
That would not be true. Oh. But besides that, middle school is going fantastic. Yes, it's going good.
That's cool. And see, Dan and I actually, we have an affinity because we both do middle
we're
school.
We're not. Oh, I wasn't sure. Right now.
No, we just
sort
both
of
do middle school.
Marriage arrangement. No, okay.
Okay. So I feel like Dan and I, we're buddies in more than one. You know, we're friends, but we're co-laborers in ministry, and it's a pleasure doing business with you, Dan.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. That's awesome.
But next we have another Styles. There's a lot of Styles. Anna Lee.
Hi.
You are the first, second, are you the third Styles?
I am.
There you go.
Yep.
And what do you do here?
I am the high school ministry assistant, so at the Downs campus with Ron and Luke.
Pastor Ron and Pastor Luke.
Yes, and intern Levi, who always gets left out.
Do you call, like, does Luke make you call him Pastor Luke? I'm just curious, like, do you have to address
Master
him?
Luke. Or,
no. In fact, Luke,
Ron?
Luke doesn't make me do anything.
Oh, nice. Okay, there you go.
It's a good thing he's not here.
You tell Luke what you want to do, right? You permit him to.
She's like the puppeteer.
Right.
She's got Luke just does what she says. Is that accurate?
No.
No.
No, okay. We have a good working relationship.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. And the ministry is going how?
Well, it's, growing, mm-hmm. and we're trying new stuff this year, and some of it's going better than others, but...
Any hospital trips?
Yes, actually, but not because of anything that we did. So just a...
I'm not saying it's anything that I did. A student did something that necessitated a trip to the hospital.
No. I mean, a student had a prior medical condition.
Yes, same with us. Look. It was a pre-existing condition that was aggravated by something that happened to you.
Ah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's fine. Move on.
Parents, I would just like to say that at the Mission campus, we've had zero emergency trips, hospital trips, ambulance trips, nothing like that. Only a few minor flesh wounds.
Yeah.
So we keep it real up in Mission.
Okay.
Yes, Annalie and Luke and Ron run a fantastic high school ministry. And I am the third person around this table. I'll be your host. My name's Andrew. I go by a number of names, but we'll go with that for now. And I run youth in Mission. That's what I do. Middle school, high school.
And how's that going?
It's going well. We have a ton of fun.
Yeah.
We yeah, we're just busy preaching the gospel, telling students about Jesus' love. And this year we're going through a series actually called Inside Out. It's not a series, rather. It's more of our theme. So we're talking about the idea of the transformation that starts inside from Jesus. The Holy Spirit renews you and begins to sanctify you. And then that has transformations on the outside.
Okay.
So anyways, that's what we do. So we're talking about that right now.
So you're not just teaching through the movie.
No, you know what? We haven't even watched the movie.
I cried in that show.
Did you?
I pretended to.
You're like a ginger snap. See, you're like a little crusty and like brown on the outside, but you got a soft, chewy center. And that's what I like about you, Dan. Mm. You cried during
Ginger snaps.
They are good.
I ate some last night. I dipped them in my tea.
Tea.
At tea time.
I had some last night too. I dipped them in milk though. So good. Fresh cookies. So before we go any farther, I do want to hear though, recap real quick, last week's youth nights. We'll start with you, Mr. Sparrow, Pastor Sparrow.
Okay. So last week, grade 7-8 youth, Vertical Edge, we did Advent as we were entering into the season of Advent here and at Northview Community Church. We've been lighting the candles on the weekend. There's Advent devotionals for families or devotionals for everyone that you can grab one outside the worship center and center court and blah, 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 info center. So we jumped into it ourselves too. So we actually made bracelets.
Did the Advent candle lighting have anything to do with the hospital visit?
No.
Oh.
And we didn't. Yeah. No.
I'll let the hospital thing go.
Yeah. So we just said we made bracelets and, you know, and the beads would remind, each bead would remind us of the 4 weeks of Advent leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and such like that. And we said, don't take the bracelets off at all, no matter what happens.
Until
Christmas.
Oh,
cool.
So ka-ching. I'm wearing mine.
Oh,
people can't see it, but I'm wearing it's bracelet. It actually looks like some pretty sweet man jewelry going on.
You can sell it when you're
done. It's like wooden beads with some like amber colored ones.
It did. And I made it myself. I didn't even, like my wife didn't make it. Okay. She tied it, I picked the beads. It looks
good. Is it a good teething bracelet? Like you can gnaw on when your teeth are bugging you?
You know, I could have my grandchildren gnaw on it. It would actually be pretty good. They'd probably swallow the beads, though, and that'd necessitate a hospital visit.
Another one. There you go. Yeah. Annalie, high school ministry. Talk to me.
We were finishing our Oldies But Goldies series this week with a story about Hosea.
Did you name the series after Ron? Oldie But Goldie?
You'll have to talk to Luke about that, actually. Sorry, I cannot
deny. I feel like you could have.
Okay.
So we were going through Old Testament characters. So we did a Hosea last week, which was really good. Lots of good small group discussion about the gospel and how much God loves us.
Which is how much?
Huge.
Very much.
I'll use an analogy, middle school analogy, that I would tell the kids about something like this. So Annalie, feel free to use this, that he loves you so much that if you were to think about it, that your nose would just start bleeding and then your head would explode. If you try to think about it too much, if you try to dwell on it too much, it would literally happen. So,
but I feel like your ears and eyes would begin to bleed before the explosion, right?
Right.
So now nose mouth, ears, eyes,
and then explosion.
So your heads literally explode.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. We usually like, and then act it out on stage. So
it's a lot of love.
Yeah, it is a lot of love. It is.
It's more love than we share, Dan. It's a lot of love. And up in Mission last week with our high school ministry, we did something that's a new tradition. We started it last year, so this is still a new thing for us. It's our bake-off, and it's with our high school group. So each core group, which is our smaller groups, all the students have a set of leaders and peers that they exist in as a core group. So we did our core group bake-off. So groups would submit their recipe to me in advance. I went and got shopping for all the ingredients. We had one of our kitchen guys, Rob Johnson, shout out. He did awesome. He ran the kitchen. He got the ovens going. He made sure there was no accidents. And the groups had all the ingredients ready to go. They mixed them up. They made their baked goods. And then they brought it forward. We had a whole panel of judges, kind of like one of those cooking shows.
So is that because you've shared this with me before, that you're a huge fan of the British Baking Show. You and your wife, Jasmine, love to sit and watch the episodes on that.
You know what? I actually really can't stand those baking shows. But Jasmine, my wife, does love them. And that's kind of where the inspiration came from, of making it more of a contest with actual baking. We tried it last year before we had baking facilities. We just we called it a no-bake bake-off. This year we ramped it up. It's an actual bake-off with ovens and heat. And next year, it's sure to be even more epic.
So for the no bake one last year, you guys literally just like mixed up the stuff and like had bowls of batter. And
well, we had ingredients that were like didn't need to be cooked. So we did like desserts with marshmallows and cookies. And
so do you eliminate people?
No, we just awarded a prize. So we had the judges. They were judged on three categories. One was appearance, how it looked. The other one was teamwork and how the groups performed together. And then the third one was, of course, taste. So they got ranked, they got scored. Then we did some math on the scoring. And then we awarded a winner. And the winning core group got a gift card to Castle Fun Park for, well, whatever they decide.
Very nice.
Hopefully something worthwhile. So it was good. Bake Off, and we're just building up momentum for next year. So that's what we did. But enough about youth ministry. We didn't come here to gloat about our youth nights, did we? We came here to do a couple things. One of those is maybe my favorite segment of this podcast. And I believe today is Annalie's turn.
Yeah, it is.
Is that what's known as dead air? It's the first time I've done one of these. Is that dead air?
No. Okay. What did you think? That was the intro song. Didn't you hear it?
Oh, sorry.
Okay, intro segment.
The intro song. Okay,
come on, Dan.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Here we go. Because take it away. This is Here's the Thing. My Here's the Thing today is, I have a dog. So everyone who knows me knows I have a dog because I just got it this summer and he's so cute. His name is Gideon and I'm completely obsessed. So
And Gideon has an Instagram account.
People. He does. What? At GiddyGrams. You can follow him if you'd like. So because I have a dog, I am experiencing lots of dog things. And one of the things I like to do is bring him to the dog park.
Is this about dog poop?
Well, sort of. Yeah. Because people think that because they're at a dog park, which is a fenced in area where your dogs can run around and play with each other, they're at the dog park. So I don't need to clean up after my dog in the dog park.
So what is this something you've
adopted? So
are
you supposed to clean up the dog?
Yes. Oh. You are supposed to clean up after your dog.
Okay.
So for all of you who don't know that maybe or are dog owners and don't clean up, please do, even if it's off in the bushes somewhere.
So is it just a bunch of dogs like walking around, like running around playing and then just the human owners following behind cleaning up the poop? Like literally, is that what it is?
Yeah, well, mostly the human owners kind of stand around the like little sort of half shelter thing.
And all they do is talk about dogs.
They do.
And dog poop.
How old is he? Oh, he's 8 months.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Okay. That's my other, here's the thing. People, dog people, you can talk to like humans about human things, but all they do is sit there and like, oh, what's your dog's name? How old is he? What kind of dog? You know, how long have you had him? Training, bones, all these random, it's like, you can go through a conversation for half an hour with a person and you leave and you're like, oh, I don't even know that person's name, but I know there are three dogs and everything about them. Dogs. So it's interesting thing about dog people. They don't I don't think they want to talk about themselves. They're just their dog.
You know what? I think what we could actually do here is maybe we could pitch something to the dragons or the sharks on Shark Tank. Is one of those little pooper scoopers. You know, you put like horses in parades, they chop the tails or they cut them short.
Yeah.
But then they have the little bucket that's like harnessed to the horse so that as they do their thing in the parade, to save having to have someone shovel all the horse poo, it's just like a bucket. It's just caught. So I feel like we could make a rig to strap to your dog, like a little bucket.
Have you ever had a dog?
No. Would that not work? Is that crazy?
Especially if they're running around playing with other dogs. You know where this poo is going?
Well, you can make it like compact and like portable.
I'm pretty sure they have dog diapers.
They do have dog diapers.
Let's combine that. Let's combine the bucket with a garbage compactor. So as it's pooped, it's just like compacted like into a little toffee size. That's right.
Spits it out with a little twisted ends.
Twisted
like
ends.
A little candy.
There you go.
That'd the thing awesome. About dog poo, though, what I'm learning is I have a friend who, she used to work for a company who deals with doggy poo, essentially. So you can hire this company. They'll come and you collect your dog, you know, you clean up after your dog in the yard. You put it in a bucket and then they'll come and take it away. Because did you know it's actually not allowed to put your dog excrement either like in the sewer system, so you can't flush it and you can't dispose of it. You can't put it in your household garbage. It's crazy. And it doesn't decompose. I don't know why, but it just won't. You could bury all your dog's stuff and it just won't decompose.
Well, that's not true.
It's true.
No. I've had personal experience.
It does. You like dug it back up and checked?
Well, we have a compost and have done that before, which is not good for your compost.
dog poop.
But that was before we learned that. But yeah, it does eventually decompose. So
you're like, you started growing veggies in the soil from your dog Gideon. Oh, gross.
No.
I'm not eating dinner at your house.
This is many years ago.
But I feel like that's a good thing that dog owners should be aware of, is to clean up after their pets, because there's nothing worse than either fresh or not fresh. There's just nothing pleasant about that. I actually don't have a dog personally, but growing up we had dogs, so I feel like I can relate a little bit. But that's neither here nor there.
I'm a cat person.
You know what I always say, Dan, to cat people? You know my favorite type of cat?
A dead cat?
Exactly.
That was too easy.
That's too easy, right?
Yeah.
Cats are not awesome.
We have a dog too, but our dog has a skin condition, so he thinks he's a cat. Like, he licks himself. Did you know that cats can lick themselves all the time and clean themselves and they don't smell? But if a dog licks itself, like, all over its body all the time, it smells really, really bad. So our dog smells like, it doesn't need to poo in the house because our dog smells like poo all
That's
the time.
Disgusting.
I'm sorry.
Gross.
Okay.
We digress. Let's move on, guys, to today's topic. What we're talking about
I thought that was the topic.
No, I'm sorry, Dan.
Oh, I didn't know how these worked. I thought we were just going to talk about dogs and poop the whole time. That's why I brought the cats in, to shake it up a bit. So.
No, we are going to turn the page. We're going to put the here's the thing behind us. Annalie, that was excellent. I appreciate that. Can't wait for the next one. We're talking about this week's episode about the idea of parents and students having unrealistic expectations on the student in terms of things like academics or sports and just all around performance, what we're calling the performance monster. And so what are some things that you guys have seen in your circles, in your ministry with your students? What are some of the standard things that occupy families' times in the day to day, the week to week? What are some of these things that are keeping people busy?
Sports.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I mean, it's all the extracurricular activity that is going on, right? I mean, the way we look at it too, I mean, we look at what's keeping the kids busy, but it's also like the parents, right? I mean, it's that's a huge thing too, because the parents are having to factor in everything that the kids are doing, and they're having to adjust their schedule accordingly so that they can do everything too. So when we talk about the performance anxiety on, you know, whether it's on a youth because of sports or other extracurriculars, it's also the parents' lifestyle too that's being impacted to a large percentage, because the kids that are hyper involved in different activities, those parents are just as involved, you know, to a degree, right? Those are the parents that are huge cheerleaders for their kids, and they're driving them here and there. So it's just not, it's the family, right? Like, it's just not the kids that are being affected in that way. So that was just kind of my preamble, you know.
Totally. And I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's more than just a commitment on the student. I mean, very seldom would it just be that, you know, Tommy signs up to play basketball and Tommy does that totally by himself, right? It affects, you know, everything from getting a ride there to the team's going to need a coach and all these kinds of things. So you can quickly become busy. What are some things, Annalie, that you run into with your ministry? What are some of the hot topics that people are doing?
Sports, definitely a big one. It's like, we feel like we're asking our kids, oh, didn't see you last week. And, oh, it was volleyball. Great. Okay. Volleyball's going to end soon, but then it's into the next sport. And some of these kids are doing three or more sports a year. And like, it's great. I have nothing against sports, and team sports are awesome, but it's interesting to just see them continually doing sports and never getting a break from that, activity, and us rarely seeing them and then building their church community. And then another one is this stress of school and academics, and these kids, how they, not all of them, but some of them, very stressed for tests and papers. And there's just this all around negative school vibe. A lot of the times kids come in and they just,
particularly in high school around exams, big tests, those kinds of things. Where do you
think middle school, we're not hitting the,
it's right.
We're not hitting too much stress about the exam, so not that I see like too often. I'm sure there's
nothing's
sure
for keeps in middle school. You know, there's still nothing's for keeps yet. You still got time, right? That's good. No exams. There're no provincials. Nothing like that. It's all just
this is stress, man.
It's true.
Like, especially like the ones like when they got to build the trebuchets to like throw things and stuff like that, and you got to get that right.
Like your volcano's not exploding properly.
And the, yeah, no, and it's good. I mean, and yeah, not. To,
Where do you guys think that the pressures come from? So it's, I mean, obviously there's no doubt that these are serious commitments and they increase, especially when you start going to finals and provincials and tournaments and these kinds of things. The pressure to do these things and to be busy. I mean, we live in an age where it seems like we're busier than ever before because things are just so accessible, right? Everyone's got one car, two car, three car families, so busy, mom, dad, oftentimes both working, and there's nothing wrong with these things, but there's this, it seems like we're just as a culture, increasingly busy. The pressure to perform, for students to perform well, where does this come from? Do you think it's more inward? Is it more outward? Are there outside factors? Where is this pressure coming from?
I would say some of it, I think, is just very subtle, and sometimes people aren't even meaning to put that pressure on, but we naturally praise achievement, and we naturally praise the A grade or the team that wins or does very well. And so it creates a culture that is what I need to do to get praise. And so that can make pressure just because it's just a natural thing. And I mean, that's a society thing. It's a cultural thing. And it is good to praise excellence and effort. But I think a lot of our communication can be just communicating that is what is praiseworthy, is when you achieve the top in something, in your performance in something, not necessarily who you are as an individual.
Right.
Yeah. And just speaking like from my perspective, it, and just so that everyone knows who doesn't know me and stuff like that, I am, when I said older than a middle schooler, I'm 51, right? Yeah. I got the kids, right? Onto the grandkids now and stuff like that. Awesome, awesome time of life. So for me, when I say what drives it, for me, interacting with parents over the years, a lot of it is the parents' passion for, like, if we're talking sports specifically, it's a parent's passion for sports. I mean, quite often the kids like that are like heavily involved in sports, it's to a large degree whether it's their mom or their dad, that they were involved in the same sports and they have the passion, and you know, they want to, you know, they had really good experiences when they were young, being engaged in that sport level, and a lot of them are still engaged into the sports to some degree, and so they want to share that passion, you know, with their children, right? And the way that you do that is get them involved, right, and encourage them and support them in the sports. So I mean, I've always seen that to a large degree.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with sports, with being busy, with wanting to achieve the honor roll, with wanting to do these things. But I think what starts as a good intention for what maybe parents or teens are trying to strive for, which would be success in the eyes of, you know, teachers and peers and coaches and these kinds of things, with an attempt towards trying to be successful, I think sometimes we can push ourselves too far. We can push our kids too far, mm-hmm. or the students on our teams so far that we begin to turn them into either performance monsters, or we become the performance monster ourselves, who have these unrealistic expectations of our students. And so that's kind of where we want to go. And what I want to know is, do you think this pressure is like when is it too much? How do we decide if, you know, let's say a family, parents together, parents working, a couple of three, four kids, they're all busy. How do you determine how much pressure is a good amount, I guess, or when is it too much? I mean, obviously there's going to be physical limitations, like the classic story where the football coach pushes all of his players until they vomit. First one to vomit is, you know, cut off the team or something. Obviously there's some unrealistic pressures we can put on, but how do we navigate through that? How much is too much? What can students handle?
I mean, Emily, when you were saying about, you know, you haven't seen the kids, you know, like, you know, because this sport's ending and the sport's starting, rather than trying to quantify, like, or, you know, what is too much for an individual. And from my perspective, you know, in the ministry and working with the kids and the families and stuff like that, it comes down to identity. Right. You know, to a large degree. Right. Meaning my concern isn't like, OK, that kid's playing hockey every day or playing baseball or playing volleyball and they're away every weekend. That's not my concern. My concern is where are they? Where is their identity coming from? Mm-hmm. Right. Because that's the biggest challenge. Right. You can be the best at a sport and you can be representing your school, or your team well. But is that then where your identity is coming from? And that's for me, that's the biggest challenge.
So there's more to it than just the playing hockey, the missing church, the missing youth, to be on a sports team. There's more to it than just simply performing and succeeding, but there's actually more. There's some deeper layers to this.
Sure. Right. Sure. Yeah. Because, I mean, what happens then, you know, what happens when an injury happens? What happens when you change school? What happens when you graduate? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could have the, it doesn't matter what school, I mean, and that's the thing. It doesn't matter, you know, what school, private school, public school. I mean, you can have just as much team spirit as at any school if you are heavily invested and heavily involved and giving all, you know, all to it. But what happens then, you know, when that ends?
Totally. It's interesting. I help out at a school one day a week here locally. It's a high school. And I was talking with one of these students and he's a very talented athlete. He's very fit. He's a phenomenal athlete with almost anything he does. I think hockey and football and basketball. And he was telling me that we were just doing some shooting some hoops and just playing around at lunch hour in the gym. And everything, it seems like he makes a competition, which I think can be a good challenge and can be a good thing. And I said, man, you seem to be pretty competitive. You know, why is that? Why is everything, you know, he always wants to do 1v1 and, you know, assert his dominance and assert his superiority. And so I said, this is interesting. How come everything has to be a 1-on-1? He said, 'cause I got to win. Like you got to play to win. And I said, really? You always have to play to win? Yep, always. I always win. I do not lose. And I said, really? That's so interesting to me. And I said, so what about when you do lose? When will you do? And he said, well, I shake the other person's hand, but I don't say anything. And so his identity is so wrapped up, Dan, like you're saying, in winning. And he said, I haven't always been this way, but he said, I played enough hockey and been to enough tournaments where like he just can't handle losing. And when he does, it's... He leaves everything on the court or the ice or wherever whatever he's doing, and he'll shake the other person's hand and move on, and his identity is crushed in this losing. And I find that interesting, and this is something that I'm sure there's lots to his story, lots of people and things like that who have kind of brought him to this point, coaches and things like that. But there's absolutely an identity piece.
Mm-hmm. I would say from my own experience in high school, actually since probably grade 4, was in academics. Was when I learned in grade 4, that's when I was awarded the top academic award in grade 4. Like, what did I know back then?
I got a reading award in kindergarten, Emily. So
I got this award, which I didn't even know existed. But since then, I thought I had to get it every year. And it got progressively put into me that this is who I was. And I strove for it every year and had huge anxiety over that. And yet... I don't think anyone really knew, and I don't even think I knew how much it was part of my identity until I didn't get it. And right. It was huge for years sorting through who I was and where my value came from. And so that wasn't anything I would say that anyone intentionally was like, you have to be the best. No one told me that. It was just the praise and the rapport of just that always being known about me. Right. And so... I would say that one step that parents can make to work with their kids on this is to listen for things that their kids are talking about a lot and their kids are putting effort on, because maybe they're hearing it from their peers or their teachers or just because that's part of their culture, and to listen to the things that are stressing their kids out and actually take those things seriously to look at, okay, what could this be affecting in their identity?
Yeah, it's worth definitely having that conversation openly and honestly. And I think often, because I think, you know, like in your story, Annalie, it's something you came by honestly. You know, you didn't even realize this was an award until you got it. I had a similar experience, although it happened to be in grade 10, where I guess I'm not a big English guy. Like, reading for me has always been a bit of a challenge. Comprehension's been like fair. I was always an okay student, but never exceptional, you know? And, although maybe exceptional in some other ways, but never outstanding, I should say. But what happened to me in grade 9 is I guess I got a high enough grade in English that I qualified for honors English in my grade 10 year.
Oh.
Yeah. So here I am, this grade 10 kid, just there's shaggy me with my long hair. And I looked like a juvenile delinquent, to be honest with you. But I didn't have a whole lot going for me. And I made this honors English class, which was kind of hilarious. And the ironic part is that, again, sort of like you, Annalie, I didn't even try for it. I didn't even know that it was a thing until I realized that all these people around me had worked so hard to qualify to make it into this honors English class. And I shouldn't have been there because I really wasn't like that much of a genius and I didn't have that great of ideas to contribute. But there I was, you know, and it was interesting to see all these people around me. It mattered so much to them to make it into that honors class, and to think that one of them didn't make it because I did is a little bit ironic, but hey, I made it. And so I think yeah, Annalee, you're absolutely right. It's worth having this conversation often and just openly and honestly to figure out where your identity is, where your value is. And if that's tied up in things that are performance-based, it may not happen today or tomorrow or this year or even next year, but there will come a time where there is a breaking point or where there's some failure. Maybe it's an injury or maybe it's just the heartbreak of losing a tournament or a championship. And if that's where your identity is, believe you me, yeah, everything will seem like it's crumbling from its foundation. And I think that's where, as youth workers, as youth pastors, we our role is to help encourage our students to not be in other things or not to be in performance-based things. But our identity is actually given to us in the person of Christ. And our identity is not something that we can earn or we can achieve, but it's found in Jesus. So I guess kind of my next question then, as we wrap up our time here, is what are some things we can put in place to sort of safeguard against that? And particularly what I'm interested in talking about is how that ties into church. Now, as youth pastors, I mean, we don't measure our success based on whether or not Sally and Tommy come every single week, because sports are good things and some of these other extracurricular things can be awesome things. And we're happy to see our students doing that. But what are some ways where we can help encourage our students to be as aggressive with getting to know Jesus and digging into their Bibles as they are into these extracurricular or academic things? What are some things we can put in place?
Well, I think, and I hope I didn't come across as slamming sports and such like that. But I'm saying if you have a student who's heavily involved in whatever sport, and you know, if they're missing some youth nights or they're missing church or whatever because of that, rather, like as Andrea, like you said, like don't be making a huge issue about that. But you mean for us doing ministry, right? We want to step into the kids' lives too. So we want to step in the lives and we want to support them in what they're doing. But we want to also provide a counterpoint to maybe what we want to be representing Christ well to them. So if you're a parent, you don't want to be putting all your focus simply upon, you know, what's consuming most of their time, whether, you know, it's a sport that, you know, you need to be representing Christ. It can't be simply like, oh, well, we miss church, so we will be at church next week. We have to be really careful with that we're not promoting some sort of compartmentalization in their life, right? Like mm-hmm. This is sports, this is school, and then we have church, because right. Our identity is to be driving everything. And as parents, we have to be doing that. That is our primary role in raising our children, is raising them in a knowledge of Christ and raising them in the knowledge of who God is and who we are called to be. But just, I mean, and that's kind of the sports thing. And, you know, it's looking at the school work and the drive to get good grades, so looking at college and such like that. As parents, if we see our children doing well, it's quite easy for us to go, well, everything's going well, they're doing great, they're, you know, and we don't see the pressure that they're putting, you know, on themselves. So we have to be really attuned to our children, to our students in that aspect, and be asking the questions and just not be going, okay, they got an A, so everything's good, right? You know, they're not struggling with their grades, because often we'll look at the kids that are struggling with their grades and go, mm-hmm. right, yeah. You know, that's the issue. But, you know, we have to be, yeah, sorry, I'll let someone else talk.
Preach, man.
I got on a roll. You know how I am, Andrew. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And I think those are all great things. And again, it's not about your attendance. It isn't that we keep a checklist. And if you make 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4 or 1 out of 4, you're some first, second or third tier Christian by any means, because we'd be remiss to think that a mom or a dad who's involved in their team as a coach or as a helper or whatever, that's not as important of a place to be as youth group. I mean, you can absolutely be the light of Christ. Like, we're called as Christians to be salt and light, and that can happen on the ice. That yep. can happen on the track. That can happen on the court. Wherever you are, we can actually be Christ ambassadors. And I have all kinds of students in my youth programs, middle and high school, who their youth attendance is sparse, and I'm happy for them, because I know that they're connected with the church and they're a healthy family, and they're, as a family, that they're invested in their sports teams. And that's a great thing, because they're building relationships, they're reaching out, they're being hospitable to the people on their teams, and they have a chance to spread the gospel. So it isn't to say that, you know, if you aren't making youth, you're on a bad right. path or any means like that. But I think it is important to have these conversations What are some things, Annalie? I know you guys do things like Bible reading plans. You've got Bible studies. Lots of youth can't maybe make it on a Thursday night for this, that, or the other, especially in the grade 12 year. There's just so many things to be busy with. But you guys offer some extra things here. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have a student Bible study on Tuesday nights with Luke and Levi right now. They meet at 7, so if Tuesday works for you and a Thursday doesn't, that's available to any students. And we are going to be implementing probably in January an official Bible reading kind of plan that you can be doing alongside other students and leaders, so that even if you miss something, you've got a conversation piece with your friends or your leader that you can plug in there. And we, like, relationships are huge for us, and that doesn't just happen on a Thursday night. And so if students want to connect and they can't come on Thursday, we have leaders, me, Ron, Luke, all of us want to hang out. And so there's always ways to connect. And parents, we want to connect with you too if you want to talk more about that as well. So youth ministry isn't relegated to just a Thursday or a Tuesday or whatever night that is.
No. And the relationship piece there is key. Absolutely. Your youth leaders, your core group leaders, your youth pastors, we're all rooting for you. We're all on, we're all on your team. And so, see what I did there on your team?
Okay.
Yeah. Good. You're quick. But we really are. We support you. We're praying for you guys, and it's awesome. Journeying together with parents and students. And so as a church, we want to be a support for you guys. We want to be a safe place to send your students. We want to be praying for them. We want to see your students getting involved with other students and building relationships, and obviously ultimately getting to know Jesus Christ more. And so thanks so much for tuning in. If you've got topics or questions or anything in between, a funny joke or a bad joke, feel free to send us an email, betweentoworlds@northview.org. We would love to hear from you. If you've got feedback or you want to never hear from one of us again, let us know, and we will take that into consideration. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of whatever's left of your day, and we will catch you next time. Thanks for tuning in. You can say bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.